Russia banned from the 2018 Pyeongchang Winter Olympics in South Korea in a stunning move after evidence emerged of, quote, unprecedented systematic manipulation of the anti-doping system. The International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach made the announcement Tuesday. That means the athletes wear uniforms bearing the acronym OAR and compete under the Olympic flag.
The Supreme Court on Tuesday took up a contentious case pitting Colorado baker Jack Phillips against same-sex couple Charlie Craig and David Mullins, who filed a civil rights complaint against the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop for refusing to bake them a wedding cake, citing his Christian beliefs. Lower courts upheld a ruling against Phillips, setting up an intense 90-minute argument on Tuesday before the high court.
2017 was politically a highly divisive year, and Twitter was the place for celebrities, leaders, and activists to vent. But according to data released by Twitter on Tuesday, the most popular tweet of 2017 had nothing to do with politics. A 16-year-old garnered 3.6 million retweets in hopes of a year's worth of free Wendy's chicken nuggets. Sadly, he never reached his goal, but Wendy's granted the free nuggets anyway.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's December 6th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day is underway. Lots going on this morning here on the program. A little bit later on, we'll welcome in Dan Shelley, who's the executive director of the Radio Television Digital News Association. He'll be here with us to talk about the all-out assault on the news media in the United States. We'll be talking about a couple of developments in recent weeks and days. Is fake news, is that a label that's taking hold in describing journalism? We'll talk with Dan later in the program. And in a minute, we'll welcome in our first guest, Andrew Machota. Mahota will be here this morning talking about how we can make friends as adults. He has a new book out, and we'll get into that. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures in this country are in the negative. As a matter of fact, as we look across the board globally, lots of red everywhere. Dow futures are down 55 points. NASDAQ futures are off 34. Looks like the tech sell-off might continue later this morning when the opening bell rings. S&P is also lower. The S&P futures are lower. Around the globe, Asia seems to be taking a big hit this morning. The Nikkei off nearly 2%, down 445 points. The Hang Seng off more than 2%, down 618 points. And in Europe this morning, the market's lower as well. The DAX off almost 1%, down 127 points. The CAC is off about 0.5%. Down 31. The FTSE down just a fraction. Oil is trading this morning at $57.18 a barrel, down almost three quarters. We're watching a couple of stories for you this morning, including the latest on Bitcoin. Russian cybercrime suspect Alexander Vinnik wanted in the United States on charges of laundering billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. He is appearing in Greece's Supreme Court for a hearing this morning. He'll be extradited to the U.S. The U.S. accuses Vinnik of laundering nearly $4 billion worth of bitcoins through BTCE, one of the world's largest digital currency exchanges. Speaking of Bitcoin, Bitcoin has hit $12,000 this morning on the global markets. This idea of Bitcoin taking hold as people start using it, really, instead of gold, more valuable, apparently, than gold. Also today, a federal credit union in New York City has sued President Trump, saying his acting director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is trying to minimize its existence. The Lower East Side People's Federal Credit Union was filed. The lawsuit was filed yesterday in Manhattan federal court. It says the bureau, created in 2010 after the 2008 financial crisis, is an independent watchdog to protect consumers in the U.S. financial services industry. The lawsuit challenges the Republican president's appointment of White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney as its acting director. It says Mulvaney doesn't like the bureau's existence and is trying to minimize it. It asks a judge to declare Bureau Deputy Director Leandra English as its executive director. Well, we're happy to have with us Andrew Mahota this morning. He's the CEO of Newtown Connection and author of Friend Request Accepted, Connecting in a Disconnected World. Andrew, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for being with us, because this is, I think, for a lot of adults, especially, an interesting topic. It's difficult to make friends as adults, isn't it?
Exactly. Once you graduate college, you're 22, you leave, where do you go to make friends? So that's kind of the concept of what I do with Newtown Connections. And that gave me the inspiration to write my book, Friend Request Accepted.
And the idea here is to put down the digital device and go out and meet people in the real world. How do we do that?
So you said step number one, you have to put down your phone. And step number two, you have to get off your couch and go meet people in real life. So that's the big conundrum we have today is it's very hard to meet people for number one. But for number two, you have to put yourself out there. So that's kind of what I talk about in my book is, how do you put yourself out there? How do you leave your comfort zone and just say yes? When you get invited to events, easiest way to meet people is to go to events and introduce yourself and say your name and smile. It sounds basic, but you know, it's one of those main concepts in life. If you want to meet people, you have to leave your house, leave your couch.
And it seems easier said than done, though, isn't it? I mean, it's that you mentioned that first feeling of getting over that anxiety and trying something new. Are there any tips for doing that? And what would you say the first step to do that is?
So first step is, I always tell people, you have to bring the energy with you. So when you go to an event, you have to be positive. You have to smile, because if you show up at an event, if you're not bringing that energy with you, other people can see it immediately. So, you know, obviously you want to be confident when you come in. And once you smile and you shake hands and you feel comfortable with who you are, you know, you have to be yourself. So that's what I talk about in the book is, you have to be genuine, be real. Don't try to be another person. You know, be happy in your own shoes. And then when you show up to an event, I always tell people when I teach about networking is that don't ask, what do you do? You know, when most of us business people are out networking, it's always a common question of, what do you do? But, you know, we hear it so many times, don't ask that question. Ask other level questions where people can, you get to learn about who they are as a person, not just what they do for work.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've seen more and more, read more and more recently, experts like yourself who say that is the worst question now you can ask somebody. Why is that?
So funny story. I'm actually a CPA. So before I started my company, you can imagine when I was out networking and I'm a CPA, people would put me in a box. So whether you're a CPA, you're a lawyer, you're a banker, you're a business guy, it doesn't matter. Once people hear what you do, they put you in that box. And then for the rest of that event, they think of me as just a CPA. I'm just a CPA. What do I know about anything else? So that's the problem is, when people ask, what do you do? They put you in a box. And they stereotype you that's what you do, and that's the only thing who you are. So in today's world, like I said, it's all about building genuine relationships. And to build relationships, you have to know each other on a deeper level, not just what do you do. So that's kind of what the problem is today. And like I said, when you hear it a million times when you're out networking and meeting people of what do? You have to be different. You have to have people want to remember you, so ask something differently.
Yeah, and I would imagine that one of the things you might keep in mind, and I know from personal experience and from friends who have been in situations like this, first of all, we're in a gig economy, so you may do more than one thing. And second of all, you may be between jobs, or you may have just gotten laid off, or you may be doing, you know, it's one of those situations where you may not have a solid work right now, and you may not be doing what you're doing. So that kind of, it would be kind of hard to answer.
Exactly. So, and it's one of the things, it's a very cold question. So imagine I just met you, I'm like, hi, Steve, nice to meet you. What do you do? It sounds like, I'm in an interrogation of, you know, what do you do? So, you know, if you're trying to make a first impression on someone, I highly advise don't ask that question, because again, it comes off really cold. Ask them something else. Like, is this your first event? Who do you know here? How'd you hear about this event? Anything else general, just to kind of get the conversation going, and then you can steer it in a direction from there, because most likely the other person you're talking to is going to ask you, what do you do, before you have to ask, what do they do?
Right. Andrew, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Andrew Mahota this morning. He's the CEO of Newtown Connection, author of the book Friend Request Accepted, Connecting in a Disconnected World. It's an 18-step guide. We'll get into some of the other steps, too, and talk more about Newtown Connect.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, losses for telecom stocks and utilities helped to extend the longest losing streak for the S&P 500 in nearly 4 months. The index was off 10 points. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 109 points to close at 24,180. The NASDAQ Composite was down 13. The Senate Banking Committee has approved President Trump's selection of Jerome Powell as the next chairman of the Federal Reserve. The 22-1 vote suggests Powell will have no trouble winning approval from the full Senate in a vote that has yet to be scheduled. UPS says deliveries are being delayed after an unexpected rush of online orders since Thanksgiving. So about 400 back office workers have traded coats and ties for brown driver's uniforms. UPS has rented more trucks to deal with the surge. The airlines are preparing for about 51 million passengers expected to travel this holiday season, marking a 3.5% increase over last year. Extra flights are being scheduled to meet demand between December 15th and January 4th. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us. We're on this morning with Andrew Mahota, who's the CEO of Newtown Connection and author of Friend Request Accepted, Connecting in a Disconnected World. Andrew, before the break, we were talking about how you just have to sort of push yourself to go to that first event. We're talking really, too, here about not business networking, but making friends for friendship.
Exactly. And like I said, it's about building a real and genuine friendship and relationship. Because I said, whether you're doing business networking or you're just socializing, it's all about the genuine relationship in nature, not just, hey, nice to meet you. What do you do? Do you have a business card? And then off you go. That doesn't do you any justice. So, you know, that's what my book is about. It's about making these real friendships today where, you know, if something bad happens, if my car breaks down or I need a ride to the airport or something like that, I can actually call my friend and they'll be there for me. So that's what my book is really about.
Yeah, and I would imagine that the lessons that you learn for doing this in your personal world would probably rub off on you in a business setting too, wouldn't it?
Exactly. The whole concept of what I do with, you know, Newtown Connections is I get people together, they come to my events, they make friends, and, you know, as a business person, guess what? If I'm friends with you, then the chances of me doing business with you are 100 times greater than just meeting at a networking event and getting a business card. So to me, I'm all about the concept of, you know, make friends first, and after that, you know, if you want to do business, the chances of me doing business with you 10 times greater at least.
Andrew, what are the kinds of events we should be looking for to go to if we're not lucky enough to be in Tampa for Newtown Connection and some of your events there? When we're looking out, scoping out these events, what are the best kinds of events?
So the best kind of events are really, to me, social in nature. So if I go to a networking event, most people are wearing name tags and everyone's just focused on business networking. So I try to find events that are a little bit outside of the norm, whether it's an art open. Maybe there's a museum that's opening up and there's an art gallery tour. Maybe it's an activity. Maybe you guys are doing, there's a social meetup to go into a rock climbing. So it's doing these other events outside of the norm where you spend 2 or 3 hours with a group of people. You have conversations that don't revolve around work. And when you're in that kind of environment where it's more social, people can let their guard down and be themselves. And then, yeah, that's where you really build those real friendships, not, I mean, networking is always great, but again, if everyone's there just collecting business cards, you know, how often do you actually build real friendships there? So I push people to do other events, find other events that are not just your standard networking events, and go out and do them.
Yeah, I know some of the things that you've done, you've organized brunches, you even take people kayaking. Is there a limit to the number of people? Is there a perfect size or group that you want to watch out for? So if there's like 100 or 200 people at one of these things, that's probably not the ideal number of people, is it?
Yeah, it seems like the bigger it gets, the better it will be. But to me, it's actually the inverse, where if I'm actually going kayaking or, you know, doing a rock climbing event with 10 to 20 people, I can actually have a real conversation with those 10 or 20 people. And it's a bit more intimate. So I would suggest that if you can find events that are 50 people or less, you can move your way around the room. You can talk to 10, 20 people, and that's, you can have a real conversation of substance versus you show up to a huge event with 250 people. And it's just very overwhelming because you're there. You're like, my gosh, I have to collect business cards. I have to ask people, what do they do? And then you leave there, and maybe you had 2 or 3 real conversations.
You write 18 steps in the book. I don't want to go through all of them and give them away, you know, one of the biggest, I think, things, I'll use another personal example, is sort of fostering these relationships once you make them. I would guess that that's an important part of this after you meet someone that you like at one of these events, is making sure you take care of that garden, as it were.
Exactly. So I'm from Indiana, and I moved to Florida, 6 years ago. And I built up my network just because of, I like to call it the one-on-one. So you meet people everywhere you go, whether it's networking, church, at work, wherever. It's having that follow-up and asking these people out for a lunch, a happy hour, dinner, anything where you can have a one-on-one conversation and really get to know people. So to me, that's my biggest advice to people is when you're out networking and meeting people wherever you are, get their information and ask them out to lunch. Ask them out for a happy hour so you can have that private one-on-one conversation and really get to know someone outside of the event. So that's if there's any takeaway from today from everyone listening, ask people for that one-on-one and follow up with people and follow through when you get their information.
Yeah, don't sit around waiting for somebody to call you. I would guess too is important.
Exactly.
Andrew, I understand you want to you're trying to move a Newtown connection to other places across the country that's working for you so well there in Florida. You want to move it across the country.
Exactly. So I have this vision where I'm sure there's plenty of other people, not just me, who moved from the Midwest to Florida, but there's other major cities, even Chicago. If I was moving from Florida back to Chicago, if I moved to Chicago, where do you go to make friends? So Newtown Connections, we're in the process of launching in Dallas, Texas here in the next 2 to 3 months. And the trick is I need other people like me who have the time, energy, and who like to go out and network and socialize. So that's the vision is Newtown Connections should be in every major city because I know there's a need, whether you're 21, 31, or 41, doesn't really matter. People want to have real friendships today. And, again, if I can provide that service with my company, I'd love to help out anyone in any major city because I know there's enough people out there who feel the same way of, man, it's so hard to make real friends today. Where do you go to make friends? And that's what Newtown Connections does is solve that problem.
Well, Andrew, we appreciate you getting up with us and being on with us this morning. Best of luck to you, and congratulations on the success of your book.
Yeah, no, thank you, Steve. And like I said, the book's on Amazon, so if anyone's listening, check it out. Friend request accepted. It's on Amazon.
All right. Andrew Mahota, the CEO of Newtown Connection and author of Friend Request Accepted, Connecting in a Disconnected World. You can make sure to follow Andrew as well. His group is Newtown Connect on Twitter, at Newtown Connect. You can also follow him on Twitter, Andrew Mahota, and his last name is spelled M-A-C-H-O-T-A. We'll link out all of this onto our Twitter account and also in the podcast of the program a little bit later on this morning.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's InnoMinute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Chicago startup Sprout Social announced it has acquired Seattle-based social media analytics startup Simply Measured. Sprout Social said it's bringing Simply Measured into its portfolio, and Simply Measured's Seattle office will serve as the company's West Coast hub. Simply Measured launched in 2010 and raised $29 million in venture funding. Uber released its most Ubered to destinations in each state this year, and Illinois' top spot probably doesn't come as a surprise, Wrigley Field. Uber also said the most rides taken in 2017 was on October 28th, which was Halloween Saturday. And Chicago Inno has published its annual holiday gift guide with a range of different gift ideas from Chicago startups, including 3D printed handbags and a water bottle that syncs to your phone and tracks your daily water intake. Check out the full list on our website. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 542 this morning on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. Over the last week or so, the nation's largest retailer, Walmart, removed from its online store a T-shirt threatening journalists. The shirt featured the words, "Rope Tree Journalist, Some Assembly Required." It had been offered on sale at Walmart.com by a third-party seller called Teespring.com. The company also offers it on its site. There's also a coffee mug featuring the slogan. Dan Celli is executive director of the Radio Television Digital News Association, RTDNA, and he's with us this morning. The organization, by the way, the largest professional organization devoted to broadcast journalism, electronic journalism. Dan, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And congratulations on being named the new executive director of the organization. As a member of the organization, we're proud to have you in charge.
Well, thank you so much.
Let's talk about this T-shirt first. Walmart removed this shirt. How did it get on the site up for sale in the first place?
Well, as you noted, Walmart has an agreement, or I assume they still do. They had an agreement with Teespring.com to sell Teespring products on Walmart's e-commerce platform. Teespring was offering this shirt, and Teespring is a company that essentially anyone can go to with a logo or a design. And Teespring will produce a product, a tchotchke, if you will, or a T-shirt or a coffee mug, as you mentioned, and produce it for you and sell it for you for a chunk of the proceeds. And apparently there's an API or something, I'm not that familiar with exactly how it works, that allowed the Teespring listing automatically to appear on Walmart.com. As soon as I noticed it on Walmart.com, I called it to the attention of the top four executives of Walmart in Bentonville, Arkansas, via a letter I emailed to them, and within a matter of less than 5 hours, it had been removed from Walmart.com. The next morning, it had been removed from Teespring.com as well.
Yeah, the T-shirt, I've seen video of folks who were at rallies for then-candidate Donald Trump wearing this T-shirt, and it sort of brought to mind sort of this feeling in the country among some people about journalism. How dangerous is a T-shirt like this and a thought like this?
Well, we live, unfortunately, in a society where there's been a complete breakdown of civil discourse. And this T-shirt is just one symptom or microcosm of that. Imagine, if you will, inserting any other noun in place of the word journalist in that phrase. Rope, tree, woman, some assembly required. Rope, tree, teacher, some assembly required. There would be universal outrage. So what makes it acceptable to say rope, tree, journalist, some assembly required? It's not acceptable. And it's open season on journalists in America today. According to the U.S. Press Freedom Tracker, which is the archive of record for threats on press freedom in the United States, 35 journalists so far in 2017 have been physically assaulted merely for doing their jobs. So we live in an inflammatory climate, to say the least, and these T-shirts were just unacceptable.
It seems like the inflaming of the country continues as well. Just as recently as yesterday, Steve Bannon was down in Alabama campaigning for the Senate candidate there, Roy Moore, referring to journalists again as the opposition party. And the president of the United States, when he took office, called journalists enemies of the state. That kind of thing, is it resonating among the country? How does the country even battle something like that?
Well, sadly, it is resonating, and it's resonating with a significant segment of the population. A new study by the Poynter Institute in Florida, released within the past few days, said 44% of Americans they surveyed believe that the news media make up stories about President Trump. And that simply is not true. So, yeah, it's resonating. It's not a good time in terms of the environment toward the First Amendment. And by the way, Steve, if you don't mind, we approached this issue of the T-shirt with some great trepidation because we are a politically nonpartisan but fierce advocate for the First Amendment and press freedom, especially the First Amendment and everything the First Amendment stands for, not just freedom of the press. So we recognize that Walmart had the right to sell this shirt. We recognize that people have the right to purchase and wear this shirt. But just because you have a right to do something, that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do in some cases.
Dan, this is, I mean, moving forward and continuing to, do our jobs every day. I know here at WGN and in newsrooms all across the country, around the world, We come at this every day with integrity and honesty. Is that going to be enough, or do we and organizations like RTDNA have to do more in terms of that? I mean, I know you're doing great work, but how do we move forward on this and hold the line and win back trust and from the people?
That's a complicated question because it's a complicated issue. I mean, for so long there has been a feeling, it has been simmering under the surface about this whole notion of fake news or biased reporting, et cetera. The term fake news, unfortunately, has now been weaponized by a political and ideological environment that really has taken it to new levels. There are two things that journalists need to do going forward. Number one is be more transparent, not just about what they're reporting, but how they're reporting it and why they're reporting it. And number two is to hold journalists accountable when journalists make mistakes. Responsible journalists admit their errors, correct their mistakes as quickly as possible, and are held accountable when they make mistakes. Look at ABC's Brian Ross last week, who made a mistake in the Michael Flynn guilty plea story, suspended without pay for 4 weeks by ABC News, and tweeting publicly, Brian Ross, that he agreed with ABC's decision. That's responsible journalism, and that's what it takes to rebuild trust.
And there's a responsibility, too, here on the part of consumers, is there not? When we hear this word fake news spread around, when people say something is fake news, it's incumbent upon consumers of news to know what fake news is and find it. How do they best go about doing that?
Well, too many people in society today, unfortunately, get their news from only one or two or three sources, all of which tend to reflect their personal point of view, be it politically or ideologically or in other ways. Consumers have a responsibility to get sources of information from other than places that already reflect their preconceived notion of what life or politics or ideology are all about. So, yeah, there is a responsibility on the part of citizens, but journalists are citizens too, and we have a responsibility to help the public make that distinction.
Dan, are you optimistic as we move into a new year that this is going to get better anytime soon?
No, I'm not optimistic it's going to get better in 2018 because campaign consultants have already advised many 2018 congressional, U.S. Senate, even local and state candidates around the country to attack the media at every opportunity because it works so well for our president. Long term, I do think it will get better whenever whatever this is we're in right now goes away eventually, and it will. But short term, I think it's still a perilous time to be a journalist in America.
Yeah, and around the world as well. In recent days, I've seen a couple of different embassies from other countries where there are authoritarian leaders use this term verbatim, fake news, when they're criticizing journalists either from the U.S. working in those countries or working locally in those countries. So this has now become a global thing that really is being led by our own administration here in this country.
Absolutely. And again, we understand the frustration of people who don't like or don't understand the media. We get that. We welcome criticism. We welcome debate as journalists. But rogue tree journalists, some assembly required, was a bit too far.
Dan, good of you to be with us this morning. Thank you for your work at the association. And come back, please, and talk to us.
Anytime, Steve. Thank you so much.
All
Have
right.
a great day.
You too. Dan Shelley, Executive Director of the Radio Television Digital News Association. You can find more about the organization at rtdna.org. That's rtdna.org.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are off 44 points this morning. NASDAQ futures are down almost 30 points. S&P futures are lower as well. And there's a little bit of breaking business news this morning, some M&A action. Insurer United Health has announced it's going to buy DaVita Doctor Group for $4.9 billion. Now let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, a two-way market yesterday, depending on whether you traded soybeans or cattle. At the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle futures hit a three-month low yesterday, closing down $2.12. And December live cattle finished up just 5 cents a hundredweight. Turning to the grain market, though, there we saw soybeans end above $10 a bushel. Why? Because weather in Argentina is not all that favorable. Corn futures ended fractionally higher. Wheat futures sagged on sluggish export demand for U.S. supplies. But January soybeans ended up 10 cents at $10.08 a bushel. Corn ended up a quarter of a cent. And that pretty much summed up the two-way trade in the grain market yesterday. The Illinois Farm Bureau concluded its annual meeting at the Palmer House Hilton, and delegates reelected President Richard Giebert Jr. and elected a new vice president, Brian Duncan of Ogle County. The new vice president is the president of the Ogle County Farm Bureau, and he and his wife are producing on their Ogle County farm soybeans, corn, wheat, pigs, and cattle, and kids. They have four children. Meanwhile, Rich Giebert continues his leadership of the Illinois Farm Bureau. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, December 6th. In business and economic events scheduled today, payroll processor ADP will report on how many jobs private employers added in November. The Labor Department will report on third quarter productivity data. Donald Trump Jr. will testify before a closed session of the House Intelligence Commission, committee, about the Russia investigation. The lobbying trade group Airlines for America releases its winter holiday travel forecast, and Forbes releases a list of the top earning musicians for 2017. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, December 6th.